What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The first light rail line was built once upon a time between Mall of America, ran through the airport, under the airport, to downtown Minneapolis. And then a while later, a line was built between downtown Minneapolis and downtown St. Paul. Those are operational. We are waiting for Southwest Light Rail to open. Construction continues. It's gone over budget. There have been delays, but it will open later in the decade. But there is a chance there will be even another light rail line coming to the metro area, and that will be an extension going from downtown Minneapolis through North Minneapolis and then ultimately end up in Brooklyn Park. So the system is gradually expanding, and we're going to get into that. And Kyle Minulli is going to join us, communications administrator with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, thanks for joining us today.
Very good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about this extension. I know it's been rumored for a while. Where is it at in the planning process?
Yeah, so this route has been in development for many years. A quick bit of history: in 2020, we announced that we'd be looking for a new route. We had initially been planning on going through the rail corridor from Highway 55 up north, and it turns out that the railroad was not interested in sharing their right-of-way and their property with the project. So we had to pivot the project and saw that really as an opportunity to serve even more people and more key destinations, including key communities in North Minneapolis, where there's some of the highest rates of transit ridership in the entire state. There's a lot of people that do not own a car, rely on transit to get where they need to go every single day. So we really view that as an opportunity. And here we are 3 years later, and we have a new recommended route. So it's a staff have been deeply engaging with community, having lots and lots of conversations, and we've come up with a new route that we're looking to advance. So currently we're in the environmental review phase, which means that we're putting together a really detailed report and studying everything about this potential route to include to a final report to the FTA.
All right. Can you give us kind of a rough outline, since we're on the radio and we can't show visuals, but Give us kind of a start downtown. I would assume the line would start right around Target Field.
That's exactly right, yeah. So the recommended route would come out of Target Field Station. It would work its way up 10th Avenue through the North Loop, 10th Avenue to Washington Avenue, and then it would head up Washington Avenue on the east side of I-94. At 21st Avenue, we would cross over the freeway on a new bridge that we're looking to build, which would be a new connection for the community to get to the river and get across the freeway, as well as give us an easy way to get the train across. It would go down 21st and then connect up with West Broadway, where it would continue on up into Robbinsdale, Crystal, and eventually end in Brooklyn Park.
And is this in the planning stage, and I know there's a lot of steps along the way, and then and then ultimately funding, construction, et cetera. What is a rough timeline look in all of this, Kyle?
Yeah, so assuming everything goes according to plan, we hope to be offering passenger rides in 2030. Construction likely starting around 2026, 2027.
Is the issues with Southwest Light Rail, and we're not going to put these projects together, but I brought up the delays there and some of the budget concerns about that and some of the budget overruns on that line. Does that impact this project in any way?
You know, it really shouldn't. We believe that there's capacity and there's the ability to complete both of these lines, absolutely. And that being said, you know, there's a lot of lessons that were learned on the Southwest line that we're applying here to the Blue line. For instance, you know, there aren't any tunnels, which has been a big sticking point on that Green Line extension.
Yeah, Kyle Mianulli joining us. He's with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, on a project like this, I would assume input from all the communities involved is a big part of it.
It is a big part of it, yeah. And it's something that we've really been prioritizing and thinking a little bit creatively about how we're making sure that we're hearing from everybody. You know, we do the public meetings and the public hearings where people can show up and learn about the project and voice their opinions that way. We're also doing some creative things. Like, we've actually contracted with 10 local artists this year who are doing creative arts engagement projects. And that's the way, you know, they go into the community, into the parks. They'll host a zine making workshop, as an example. That's coming up here next weekend. They do, you know, kind of community mural paintings and offer really fun ways for people to come and learn about the project and offer their feedback. We've also had a community engagement cohort where we are actually contracting with local community organizations, cultural organizations, and neighborhood organizations to help supplement the outreach work that we're doing as well. So, you know, they have connections to their communities that we don't have, and they're in places that we're not able to be. And so, you know, we've contracted with up to 17 different community organizations to make sure that we are hearing from everybody. And then in addition to that, we do have a fully staffed outreach office with some really fantastic people who are out there every single day, knocking on doors, talking to businesses, answering phone calls.
Yeah, and Kyle, about the project itself and the planning, and once a route is determined, then the idea is, you know, where are people going to be able to get on and get off the train and access rides on the particular train? And I think the one thing we've learned from the original line from the Mall of America downtown and then from downtown Minneapolis over to St. Paul is that maybe this open station kind of on the honor fare system maybe doesn't work. Because when I visited Chicago, and we've taken our kids to Chicago a number of times and have used the L frequently. No fare, no ride. I mean, there's restricted access to the platforms and to be able to get on the train. Is there a thought going forward that maybe this Blue Line extension may use a model like we see in other cities like Philly or New York or Chicago?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, there are lots of different schools of thought on the station enclosure idea, and that's something that we've definitely been hearing a lot of lately. Metro Transit next year is going to be doing a pretty comprehensive study of, you know, what would it look like to retrofit those existing stations to have more controlled access to the platforms. So we'll be watching that study closely, and, you know, it does sound likely that they will be moving ahead with some station modifications to do exactly what you're talking about, and that's something that we'll certainly be watching closely and incorporating on this project as it makes sense.
Yeah, and would it be using the same rolling stock, if you will, cars that are already used on the system, so it would be completely interchangeable? I would assume that goes without saying, because I think some people think about North Star commuter rail running on, you know, freight lines up to Big Lake. This would be the same rolling stock, the same cars.
Yeah, so we certainly have it so that any of the existing cars could run on this new route as well. You know, we will be likely purchasing additional light rail vehicles just because we're going to have thousands more trips every single day. And we want to make sure that we can meet the demand and give everybody the rides that they need.
And then, Kyle, beyond that, I think a lot of people are wondering about funding. I know there's probably county involvement, state involvement, and federal involvement in a project like that. Is the project fully funded, or are there hurdles to cross on that part of it?
Yeah, so the way the funding works is there's typically a local share, which traditionally Hennepin County has covered, and they've committed to covering a local share for this project as well. And that's, you know, up to about half of the funding. And the rest of the funding typically does come from the federal government through what's called an FGA or a funding agreement. And so we will, once we have a finalized route, be applying for federal funding to cover hopefully as much as half of the cost.
Kyle Mielen newly joins us, Hennepin County Transit and Mobility, talking about the Blue Line extension, which would run from downtown Minneapolis northwest out toward Robbinsdale, Crystal, and ultimately Brooklyn Park. How do people learn more about where the project stands and kind of take a look at a map and what this thing will look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I direct your listeners to bluelineext.org. That is the main project website. And there's all the information you could ever want to know about the project, including an interactive map, which lets you look in kind of great detail on exactly where we're thinking of putting it, what it will look like. We have some renderings up there that show kind of what it would feel like in the community. Another website that we have that is really an engagement platform is yourblueline.org. And we've got a few different surveys up there, and we're also talking about a lot of the other components around this project, too. It's not just about building a train and figuring out where it fits, but, you know, there's a lot of investment that will come along with the actual transit project. And so we're looking at, you know, what are the robust strategies that need to be in place to prevent displacement and to build that prosperity in the community. So we've got a lot of information about our anti-displacement report and strategy on yourblueline.org, and like I said, some surveys that you can fill out too and tell us what you think.
And then would this be it for major transit projects or light rail projects in Hennepin County? Is this kind of the last big one on the board in the county?
You know, this is the last big one on the near horizon in Hennepin County for light rail, at least. And we really look at light rail as kind of the backbone of our transit system, and it works closely with bus rapid transit and local bus routes to really have a full, complete, modern transit system that makes it easy and efficient to get where you need to go without having to drive. And so this would be the kind of last major leg of the existing planned light rail network. I noticed you mentioned we've got the Green Line that heads east. We've got the Southwest Line that's going to go west. It'll be an extension of the Green Line. And we have the existing Blue Line that goes south. And so this is really that kind of missing north leg. And we're excited to get that complete.
Are you aware, and I know we're focused on Hennepin County, and that's where this particular line would be built and ideally open by 2030, of any more light rail work in the East Metro? I know there's been talk about maybe that being extended at some point, but I haven't heard a lot about that.
Yeah, so I know that they are looking at the Riverview Corridor over in Ramsey County in St. Paul. I think that current project is what they call it, a modern streetcar, so it's kind of like a bus light rail hybrid almost.
Sure.
But that's still in the early planning phases as well.
All right. Well, Kyle, thanks for the update on this Saturday.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Steve. Thanks.
All right. There he is, Kyle Mielen, once again talking about the Metro Blue Line extension going from Minneapolis ultimately out to Brooklyn Park. But some big hurdles to cross, approvals along the way, and then the big funding issue. And we'll come back and talk more about light rail and where it stands here in town in a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first light rail line was built once upon a time between Mall of America, ran through the airport, under the airport, to downtown Minneapolis. And then a while later, a line was built between downtown Minneapolis and downtown St. Paul. Those are operational. We are waiting for Southwest light rail to open. Construction continues. It's gone over budget. There have been delays, but it will open later in the decade. But there is a chance there will be even another light rail line coming to the metro area, and that will be an extension going from downtown Minneapolis through North Minneapolis and then ultimately end up in Brooklyn Park. So the system is gradually expanding, and we're going to get into that. And Kyle Manulli is going to join us, communications administrator with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, thanks for joining us today.
Very good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about this extension. I know it's been rumored for a while. Where is it at in the planning process?
Yeah, so this route has been in development for many years. A quick bit of history: in 2020, we announced that we'd be looking for a new route. We had initially been planning on going through the rail corridor from Highway 55 up north, and it turns out that the railroad was not interested in sharing their right-of-way and their property with the project. So we had to pivot the project and saw that really as an opportunity to serve even more people and more key destinations, including key communities in North Minneapolis, where there's some of the highest rates of transit ridership in the entire state. There's a lot of people that do not own a car, rely on transit to get where they need to go every single day. So we really view that as an opportunity. And here we are 3 years later, and we have a new recommended route. So it's a staff have been deeply engaging with community, having lots and lots of conversations, and we've come up with a new route that we're looking to advance. So currently we're in the environmental review phase, which means that we're putting together a really detailed report and studying everything about this potential route to include to a final report to the FTA.
All right. Can you give us kind of a rough outline, since we're on the radio and we can't show visuals, but Give us kind of a start downtown. I would assume the line would start right around Target Field.
That's exactly right, yeah. So the recommended route would come out of Target Field Station. It would work its way up 10th Avenue through the North Loop, 10th Avenue to Washington Avenue, and then it would head up Washington Avenue on the east side of I-94. at 21st Avenue, we would cross over the freeway on a new bridge that we're looking to build, which would be a new connection for the community to get to the river and get across the freeway, as well as give us an easy way to get the train across. It would go down 21st and then connect up with West Broadway, where it would continue on up into Robbinsdale, Crystal, and eventually end in Brooklyn Park.
And is this in the planning stage, and I know there's a lot of steps along the way, and then and then ultimately funding, construction, et cetera. What is a rough timeline look in all of this, Kyle?
Yeah, so assuming everything goes according to plan, we hope to be offering passenger rides in 2030. Construction likely starting around 2026, 2027.
Is the issues with Southwest Light Rail, and we're not going to put these projects together, but I brought up the delays there and some of the budget concerns about that and some of the budget overruns on that line. Does that impact this project in any way?
You know, it really shouldn't. We believe that there's capacity and there's the ability to complete both of these lines, absolutely. And that being said, you know, there's a lot of lessons that were learned on Southwest Line that we're applying here to the Blue Line. For instance, you know, there aren't any tunnels, which has been a big sticking point on that Green Line extension.
Yeah, Kyle Mianulli joining us. He's with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, on a project like this, I would assume input from all the communities involved is a big part of it.
It is a big part of it, yeah. And it's something that we've really been prioritizing and thinking a little bit creatively about how we're making sure that we're hearing from everybody. You know, we do the public meetings and the public hearings where people can show up and learn about the project and voice their opinions that way. We're also doing some creative things. Like, we've actually contracted with 10 local artists this year who are doing creative arts engagement projects. And that's the way, you know, they go into the community, into the parks. They'll host a zine making workshop, as an example. That's coming up here next weekend. They do, you know, kind of community mural paintings and offer really fun ways for people to come and learn about the project and offer their feedback. We've also had a community engagement cohort where we are actually contracting with local community organizations, cultural organizations, and neighborhood organizations to help supplement the outreach work that we're doing as well. So, you know, they have connections to their communities that we don't have, and they're in places that we're not able to be. And so, you know, we've contracted with up to 17 different community organizations to make sure that we are hearing from everybody. And in addition to that, we do have a fully staffed outreach office with some really fantastic people who are out there every single day, knocking on doors, talking to businesses, answering phone calls.
Yeah, and Kyle, about the project itself and the planning, and once a route is determined, then the idea is, you know, where are people going to be able to get on and get off the train and access rides on the particular train. And I think the one thing we've learned from the original line from the Mall of America downtown and then from downtown Minneapolis over to St. Paul is that maybe this open station kind of on the honor fare system maybe doesn't work. Because when I visited Chicago, and we've taken our kids to Chicago a number of times and have used the Yell frequently. No fare, no ride. I mean, there's restricted access to the platforms and to be able to get on the train. Is there a thought going forward that maybe this Blue Line extension may use a model like we see in other cities like Philly or New York or Chicago?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, there are lots of different schools of thought on the station enclosure idea, and that's something that we've definitely been hearing a lot of lately. Metro Transit next year is going to be doing a pretty comprehensive study of, you know, what would it look like to retrofit those existing stations to have more controlled access to the platforms. So we'll be watching that study closely, and, you know, it does sound likely that they will be moving ahead with some station modifications to do exactly what you're talking about, and that's something that we'll certainly be watching closely and incorporating on this project as it makes sense.
Yeah, and would it be using the same rolling stock, if you will, cars that are already used on the system, so it would be completely interchangeable. I would assume that goes without saying, because I think some people think about Northstar commuter rail running on, you know, freight lines up to Big Lake. This would be the same rolling stock, the same cars.
Yeah, so we would certainly have it so that any of the existing cars could run on this new route as well. You know, we will be likely purchasing additional light rail vehicles just because we're going to have thousands more trips every single day. And we want to make sure that we can meet the demand and give everybody the rides that they need.
And then, Kyle, beyond that, I think a lot of people are wondering about funding. I know there's probably county involvement, state involvement, and federal involvement in a project like that. Is the project fully funded, or are there hurdles to cross on that part of it?
Yeah, so the way the funding works is there's typically a local share, which traditionally Hennepin County has covered, and they've committed to covering a local share for this project as well. And that's, you know, up to about half of the funding. And the rest of the funding typically does come from the federal government through what's called an FGA, or a funding agreement. And so we will, once we have a finalized route, be applying for federal funding to cover hopefully as much as half of the cost.
Kyle Mealy newly joins us, Hennepin County Transit and Mobility, talking about the Blue Line extension, which would run from downtown Minneapolis northwest out toward Robbinsdale, Crystal, and ultimately Brooklyn Park. How do people learn more about where the project stands and kind of take a look at a map and what this thing will look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I direct your listeners to bluelineext.org. That is the main project website. And there's all the information you could ever want to know about the project, including an interactive map, which lets you look in kind of great detail on exactly where we're thinking of putting it, what it will look like. We have some renderings up there that show kind of what it would feel like in the community. Another website that we have that is really an engagement platform is yourblueline.org. And we've got a few different surveys up there, and we're also talking about a lot of the other components around this project too. It's not just about building a train and figuring out where it fits, but, you know, there's a lot of investment that will come along with the actual transit project. And so we're looking at, you know, what are the robust strategies that need to be in place to prevent displacement and to build that prosperity in the community. So we've got a lot of information about our anti-displacement report and strategy on yourblueline.org, and like I said, some surveys that you can fill out too and tell us what you think.
And then would this be it for major transit projects or light rail projects in Hennepin County? Is this kind of the last big one on the board in the county?
You know, this is the last big one on the near horizon in Hennepin County for light rail, at least. And we really look at light rail as kind of the backbone of our transit system, and it works closely with bus rapid transit and local bus routes to really have a full, complete, modern transit system that makes it easy and efficient to get where you need to go without having to drive. And so this would be the kind of last major leg of the existing planned light rail network. I noticed you mentioned we've got the Green Line that heads east. We've got the Southwest Line that's going to go west. It'll be an extension of the Green Line. And we have the existing Blue Line that goes south. And so this is really that kind of missing north leg, and we're excited to get that complete.
Are you aware, and I know we're focused on Hennepin County, and that's where this particular line would be built and ideally open by 2030, of any more light rail work in the East Metro? I know there's been talk about maybe that being extended at some point, but I haven't heard a lot about that.
Yeah, so I know that they are looking at the Riverview Corridor over in Ramsey County in St. Paul. I think that current project is what they call it, a modern streetcar. So it's kind of like a bus light rail hybrid almost.
Sure.
But that's still in the early planning phases as well.
All right. Well, Kyle, thanks for the update on this Saturday.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Steve. Thanks.
All right. There he is, Kyle Mianuli, once again talking about the Metro Blue Line extension, going from Minneapolis ultimately out to Brooklyn Park, but some big hurdles to cross, approvals along the way, and then the big funding issue. And we'll come back and talk more about light rail and where it stands here in town in a moment. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2 pound strawberries or 18 ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.